the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are stories that beg to be covered. Among the other facts of the story, on a religion angle, this is one of them. The Associated Press has had a story about New York death cafes. These are groups that meet all over the country, not only in New York. They're small groups of people who come together to talk about the ends of their lives. They may be facing terminal illness, or they may simply want to talk about their plans for the end of their life. Now, there's an obvious religion angle, wouldn't you think? How has the coverage actually fared in terms of these death cafes? Joining us to talk about media coverage of this story and others, Tammy Ross. She spent 20 years in journalism, including stints as the religion editor for The Oklahoman and online editor for The Christian Chronicle. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Tammy, welcome to Issues Etc.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
You say this AP story on the death cafes is kind of riddled with what you guys at Get Religion call ghosts, uncovered religion angles. Give us a few of them.
So appropriate when we talk about death to think about ghosts, isn't it? But this one absolutely has ghosts just everywhere in it. And when you think about death, obviously, I think whether you're religious or not, you think death, what next? And obviously the author didn't think about what next. The author, I think, of this piece was too focused in kind of keeping it light. You can tell from the lead of it that they wanted to draw readers in with kind of a light approach and funny and kitschy. And in that process, I think they forgot some important questions. And if there was discussion about those questions of the afterlife at this particular death cafe that they went to in New York City, I believe this one was, yes, New York City. They're held everywhere, but this one that the reporter went to was in New York City, in Manhattan. We didn't get that from this death cafe piece.
Describe what these death cafes are for those who haven't seen the stories.
Well, the death cafes, and they actually have their own website, what they do is they invite people into a home setting. Usually one was actually held in a cemetery. They invite people in for the purpose of food and conversation about death. And people come into these knowing that they're going to be talking about death and death-related issues. They're not meant to be a counseling setting at all, according to the people who promote these. It's just more of, you know, a way for people to expect to get to talk about death and the issues involved.
Now, to me, it's not just what are they talking about, what are they saying, are they expressing religious points of view. To me, there's kind of a backstory here that could be explored. The organizers of this thing, what are their hopes? Do they come at it from a religion angle? Is that the kind of ghost that you see lurking in this story?
Oh, absolutely. There are people here that that you know have religious backgrounds, and the guests themselves that are quoted kind of touch on these things, and then everyone pulls back. There's no follow-up. There's no questioning. This is just an organic opportunity for a reporter to say, you know, what happens next after death? What do you think will happen to you? What do you think happens, you know, to your soul, to that essence of you that will remain after your body's gone? And you know, just to spark a fascinating conversation, what a better opportunity than at a death cafe to talk about the afterlife. And we just don't get that at all in this story. It's so disappointing. It's just an incredibly missed opportunity to delve into that fascinating, aspect of people's consciousness, you know, what they think happens to them and to others after death, and from a spiritual standpoint. And it would be nice, you know, if someone would follow up on that. I know we'll see more Death Cafe stories, and I'm just hoping, you know, I'm going to continue to watch for one that's done well in that respect.
Would you go so far as to say that the religion angle in covering the Death Cafes is a necessity? It is so essential to what people think about when they think about the end of their own lives and the plans that they make and all that kind of stuff, that to fail to cover it in a basic story is a kind of unforgivable sin, so to speak.
I agree. That's very well put. You know, what else is more important? What's the lasting element after your death? You know, obviously you think about a funeral or a memorial service. What happens after that? I mean, is someone completely erased from all space and time? You know, ask that question and see what the answer is.
Another story that you have written about recently has to do with a KKK rally in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and a poignant story that emerged from it. Was it properly covered with respect to what may have been a religion angle? Tell us the story, and what did you find in its coverage?
Yes. Well, unlike the previous story we discussed, where the death angle and the religion aspect of that was so apparent, so organic, this one was not so much until you got into the story. And the background on this is the KKK rally was held 17 years ago in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the BBC went back and revisited it as part of a series it was doing on kindness. And so they caught up with Keisha Thomas, who at the time was an 18-year-old high school student and was a protester at that KKK rally. And she was with a couple hundred protesters who were, I guess, in one area, and then police were in the middle, and in the street were 13 KKK members. And so things were, you know, kind of going along and peaceful, and someone with a megaphone in the anti-KKK section shouted and said, "There's a KKK guy on our side of the fence here." And so everyone looks around, and there's a man with, you know, a white supremacist tattoo wearing a Confederacy T-shirt. And he takes off running, and the crowd follows him. Man stumbles, and the crowd starts to beat him. And Keisha's reaction was to protect him. She was a black woman protecting a white supremacist, basically. She shielded him literally with her body. And so the story, you know, revisits that incredible act of kindness and compassion that she displayed, putting herself in harm's way there. And she let the reporter know that what drew her to do that was her faith background. And then we get nothing more. It's just crickets. And what a wonderful thing for someone to do. What a kind, compassionate, brave thing for someone to do. But let's ask her, why did you do that? And not just, you know, the why, but delve beyond that. Okay, what about your faith? You know, what about your faith background taught you to protect someone in harm's way, to forgive someone, you know, to that extent? Mm-hmm. And so absolutely a missed opportunity. She actually gave them another opportunity beyond that when they asked her what she was thinking at that time. And she said, "When they dropped him to the ground, it felt like two angels had lifted my body up and laid me down." And, I mean, you just don't get opportunities like this as a journalist to ask the important follow-up questions. This one didn't. So, you know, quite disappointing. There have been other follow-ups that other news outlets have done. No one has asked that question yet. So, like the first, I'll continue to follow and read the reports and hope that someone, you know, picks up those cues, those important cues, and asks those questions.
Tammy Ross has spent 20 years in journalism, including stints as the religion editor for The Oklahoman and online editor for The Christian Chronicle. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Tammy, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, November the 7th, we're going to be talking about Christ in the Old Testament. This is a regular conversation that we have every week with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 3, the familiar story of Moses and the burning bush. We'll find Christ there right after this. Issues, Etc., regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues, Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues, Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.